Bueno, está chitele, Now we are about beginning our teaching today's class. So we're going to take a couple times to study Atisha's The Bodhisattva's Garland of Jewels or Gems. So that before that text we talking about, we were going to pray. Prayer is about to open up your mind towards this new teaching, and also in order to understand or to benefit from this teaching, we have a good motivation, ensure that our motivation is correct, proper motivation. Usually in the Buddhist tradition, we say what is a proper or the right motivation. It's about to use this teaching to become a better person and also have a better knowledge about our own mind trajectory and behaviors, and to kind of purify our own perception and actions, deeds. And in order to also, because we are in a society or we live in a society, so we also dependent on the society and other people's kindness. So we have to consider our own mind, speech and body, or our own actions also influence or going to impact others' life, others' kind of happiness or suffering. So our motivation will be kind of furthermore to purify your own mind and body, speech and mind, and then to bring respect, joy, happiness to others. And for the long kind of ultimate goal is, of course, if we able to help in somehow to enrich their life and until they're kind of totally gain the freedom of free from all the pain and sufferings of life. So I'm going to recite this prayer first. May all sentient beings enjoy happiness and the causes of happiness. May they be free from suffering and the cause of suffering. May they never be separate from the great happiness devoid of suffering. And may they dwell in the great equanimity that is free from attachment and aversion. So you can take a moment to reflect on that. Now our texts is here. The Bodhisattva's garland of jewels by Atisha Dipankara Shirinjana. Atisha, I will introduce Atisha very brief way. The author Atisha was born in, let's see, Eastern India, Bangladesh nowadays, belonged to Greater India civilization. 1947, they got independent because Muslim majority wanted separate or independent from India, kind of Indian faith, Hindu faith, the kind of the part of the group is nowadays India. India, the main name is originally from the Hindu valley and Indus River. So it's the border of nowadays Pakistan and India. Their river in Indus River ran into the Arabic Sea. So that is the origin of most people visited across the Indian land, and the Indian used to have many, many different kingdoms, rajas, so you cannot name just Hinduism or India in that way. In Chinese language, used to they call India Tianzhu. I think in our, in some Aryan type of name, Aryan, so use Arya something, the Arya civilization related towards Hinduism. Because Hinduism has a lot of different branches of, different, very philosophically, very different view, holding different views. So they used to say there are more than 360 different traditions or major 36 or different the philosophical view holders of lineage of those schools. So it's outsiders' late kind of way to call Hinduism. In Hindu, the Indian itself not calling themselves in at least the past kind of ancient time, they're not, that kind of concept is not there, Hinduism. So similarly, geographic borders, boundaries are very quite, some are new, including Pakistan and India, those borders. So makes, sometimes we thought historically they are like now, the geographic borders and the what we call the some concept of religion or these, they see very differently. So anyway, Atisha was born in Bangladesh as a king's family, princess. He was a prince. And when he was growing up, he wanted to leave palace life, luxurious or kind of king life, family's life. This happened in many countries in ancient time. I think due to one thing, too complicated the kind of environment of these noble royal families. There are some more than one son of these competing each other, and even sometimes behind the princess have a different group of supporters. So there is a danger of overthrowing or threatening in future kind of combat with each other in a close kind of relationship, blood bond kind of relationship, facing some tragedies. And this is one reason I think sometimes in the Buddhist history, many times kings, the princes, a prince, or some are left palace and wanted to become a wanderers and practitioners in hiding in the forest or different parts of far distance from their own kingdom. In some cases like that. In other cases, I think even you are just there is no sibling or brothers and sisters, so many complications there. But even one, only Pin had one son, but they want to leave the palace. They don't want as much benefit or worldly kind of luxury, and these are not their aim. So some have what we call the renunciation kind of nature, wanted to live as a very free with the mover, free thinker, free to everywhere. So you don't have to be kept in the castles or these a lot of responsibility from morning to dawn, down to dusk, that kind of job. King's job is very tiring, according some history and record. The education system is very harsh also. Even if very the royal family, sometimes you don't really have much freedom your own. You have to go a different occasion to do ceremonies and also even eating, drinking, sleeping. These kind of basic freedom is not there. You have to listen to orders and follow the past king's rules. And what you eat and what you want to do sometimes until a certain age, there's not much freedom. After you become an adult or become a king, you have more jobs to do. Some bigger country, I think smaller is maybe relatively easier, but bigger countries in ancient time, you have to work very hard to see this different kind of parts of the country, what is happening and what should you do to decide. And some have a kind of flood or shortage of this crops or this disease or fight, the war, and also constantly having, there was a inner and outer threat. You have to guard your own kind of kingdom. Of course, that's not all this aspect. There must be a lot of people enjoying becoming king, and they have a very skillful way to manage all things. But for normal people, there is a different type of people to handle different situation and different personality. And I think with the past karmic print imprint, they capable to do certain things trained by that way. So Atisha is, we don't know which case, but I think according to his biography, he's really, his father wanted him to stay in kingdom and continue his work of his father's work. But he had a certain renunciation kind of qualities. So he traveled to north and different place, followed some spiritual master, and sometimes the father see those activity as a sign of not really coming to normal life. You may find that luxury or the comfort of what we called five sensor comfort provided by kingdom. So he went to different master to receive a lot of teachings And their family also get the sense that he won't become there with the next kind of kingdom's holder of the throne of king. And in certain point, he had some vision that is saying he studied, of course, through his study, he understand they're very important to gain the bodhicitta, what we call the bodhicitta. Here also say the bodhisattva. What is a bodhisattva and bodhicitta? Bodhicitta is awakened state. That means we were able to, capable. Sometimes people say your fullest capacity of a human, as a human being. That means we are capable to waken from conceptual mind to transform into Buddhahood or awakened state of mind. Conceptual mind or self, the dual mind is saying that our mind have a constantly reflect on something. We have this mind of natural awareness, but we don't have the capacity of thoroughly, completely understand awareness itself. So we wear certain situation through our sensory organs and able to perceive phenomena outside, outer kind of phenomena. We also capable to reflect our own mind itself, like mirror can reflect our own face. So similarly, there is a mind able to analyze mind itself, but the nature of mind is more difficult. It's mind, what we're saying is growth of thoughts and emotion we can identify or analyze or discernment to understand in certain level. That's why we have this full understanding of psychology and this education. But what we're saying is the seeds or subtle level of mind, if you feel you're able to go deeper under the surface, then it's the capacity to toward what we call there is a awakened state or awakened Buddhahood is a source of all the awareness and the reflections from the mind thought itself. So in Buddhist, of course, usually we differentiate mind in 8 levels. 5 sense kind of capacities. And then that is from mind itself. 6, we can analyze that kind of able to reflect things from our mind. And the 7th is our own, the behavior of grasping, holding sense of identity of yourself, feeling of I, mine, and that kind of perceptions is deep rooted in our 7th consciousness. Then 8th is called storage consciousness. That is a imprint of all what we think, what we do, and that, or have some kind of a marks or in our deep subtle mind. That is the what we usually say karmic, the storage is that kind of a stage. And if you go under deeper, more transform that 8th storage mind of the consciousness in transform into wisdom, that is Buddhahood. So anyway, what usually we say, bodhicitta is person who is on the path towards gaudy or weakened state, Buddhahood or Buddhahood. Or we can take easy perception, the concept become more easy way is Buddhist enlightened mind, which we usually say enlightened mind is bodhicitta. And the bodhisattva is who approaching to the enlightenment, or already you attained Buddhahood, that both called bodhisattvas. One called causes level of bodhisattva, and the one already achieved that kind of wisdom, that called a resultant or fruition of level of bodhisattva. So what is important for this enlightened mind is because we believe all sufferings rooted in ignorance. So in order to conquer or change that ignorance, the suffering, then we have to examine and transform the ignorance in order to achieve complete freedom, free from suffering. So Atisha, after had a certain inspirations from mysterious, or you can say his own pure vision about Tara, I think it's kind of enlightened form of bodhisattva. He got some prophet kind of a message or a certain advice from the pure form of bodhisattva, and said, if you want to understand the bodhisattva practice completely, then you should go visit Dharmakirti, that's called Golden Island, who lives in Golden Island nowadays in Sumatra Island, Indonesia. And then he decided to go there by boat. It took him about 11 months from Bay of Bengal to Sumatra Island. And they're also facing certain dangers of the turbulent waves, storms, and even I think some big whales, the group of whales, these in ancient time, I think they are sometimes it's also dangerous to overthrow the boat. And then nowadays Mura Jambi is the Atisha's teacher. Tibetan called Selimba is a Golden Island teacher. And his real name is Dharmakirti. And he went there to study about 12 years there to study bodhicitta, mainly bodhicitta related teachings. We went to that place a few months ago, about 2 months ago. And it's a very, very beautiful land place. So nowadays it's just a ruin kind of site. About there are a lot of monasteries, close to 100, I think. Now, of course, only archaeological site site is there, and some museum. You can see they have some objects still remains. And then Atisha went back from back to his homeland, and become one very most important monastery. It's called the Virkamashila. Virkamashila abbot. He became an abbot of Virkamashila, While he was there, Tibetan, some translators studying there, and also Tibetan sub-kingdom, small kingdoms in the northern side. So Xiangqiu, so he's related to those monasteries, and some students, they sent some student to, from Tibet to those monasteries, including Nalanda and Virkama Sila, Udanda Bodhi, these great monasteries. And then he invited by king in Tibet. So at that time, I think Atisha was about 70, around 70 years old already. Prophesied said if you go to Tibet, you only live 20 more years. Otherwise, you can your life will be much longer. If you don't go to Tibet, you will stay in, your life will be expanded to 90 years. That means if you go to Tibet, the harsh climate and many inconvenience of maybe other reason, he is going to shorten his life. But he decided to go to Tibet, and then he gave in there and near Lhasa, both many different locations. First, he landed in northern part, very far from Lhasa, and then late his years, about ending of his life, he came to near Lhasa, that's one monastery called Dromalakam, Akantara Sho. Also he gave some teachings called Xiangqiu Lamrum means the path lamp of path to enlightenment. But those are, I think, maybe my translation may be completely not right, but about like lamp to the Xiangqiu Lamrum. The lamp of the path to enlightenment, I think about close to that kind of name. And also including this teaching, the Bodhisattva's garland of jewels. So eventually his life ended in Tibet. Originally he promised to go back to his own Bengal kingdom. But due to conflicts on the way in Nepal side, so he wrote some letters to his monastery saying, now there is so much dangers in happening, the uncertainty, so I will stay in Tibet, so I want to go back. That is his kind of message to send him. And after that, I think Atisha's brother, I think one, he visited Tibet, came to Tibet, and then see his brother is everything. He's really admired and look up to very well in Tibet. So he kind of didn't request necessary how to bring the Atisha back to his kingdom. He said, "Oh, Atisha and his environment is very, very good and very beneficial to Tibetan people, so they let Atisha stay in Tibet." That is a very brief story. Now, because our not much time, we can start here. Text itself. It's originally written in Tibetan, so yeah. We also studied in this way to Indonesia. to the sight of Atisha's own teacher. He said these teachings are came from his own teacher, Dharmakirti. So there is a form of Tibetan here and the translation of Chinese. This is our own text usually we use here. And the English is here for convenience of English speakers. And this first, the Jagarkat, the Sanskrit title, Bodhisattva Manavali. This, why we put here is because in Tibetan text, the first, the original kind of teacher, what he speak, language he speak, or originally this text is kind of which lineage is important. So they in order to respect Indian culture and lineage Buddhism, lineage of Buddhism from India, that they use the sometimes Atisha couldn't, I don't think he speak Tibetan much, writing or something, but this text is written in Tibet. So form of some Indian language. So here is Sanskrit words. Bodhisattva Mana Awale. This is the Indian language here. Bodhisattva, as we already explained. And Mani is the jewel. Awale is a kind of ornament or garland. And then the second, there is a Tibetan too. Shangchev Senhui Norim Chongwan is the same words. And then Chinese also too, called Pusa Baoman Lun. And the English is already here, the Bodhisattva garland, Bodhisattva's garland of the jewels. And then the homage here, homage to Avalokiteshvara. The first, because Bodhicitta very much related to two aspects of mind. One is compassion, one is wisdom. So union of compassion and wisdom is called Bodhisattva, Bodhicitta actually. So what we should develop first is kindness, love, altruism, like that type of mind, compassionate mind first. That is much easier. If we don't have a good quality of our being, some certain kind of mind qualities, merit, good deeds, our wisdom could be not much kind of a base to hold that wisdom. It's like we should grow the crops or good flowers. We should have a good soil related to this plants. If you kind of rice field, then you must be have a moisture and some good soil for that rice to rise. Similarly, for wisdom rise in my enlightened mind, we should have this kind of merit or good behavior of mind. If our mind is too rough, too out of control, then not much kind of wisdom can base in that kind of environment. Although wisdom is beyond normal kind of perceptions, but our wisdom, we also we have this two aspect of wisdom. One is theoretical studying, learning, that kind of wisdom. Another one is experiential wisdom. What here we're talking about is meditated based on self-discipline, meditation, and the wisdom that arises from that pure condition of a certain self guarding in your own mind, body, speech, and that related to have a good nature of good behavior. And in that condition, you can dedicate to train your mind precisely in more deeper, gradual level. And eventually, on the way, you can accumulate wisdom aspect of understanding and training practice. Finally, you kind of reach enlightenment. And the homage to Buddhist Avalokiteshvara. Avalokiteshvara is kind of most represented, usually we see Avalokiteshvara as some people say Buddha of compassion, or Buddha of compassion, aspect of Buddha's compassion. Or we can say not only Buddha, but all normal, any sentient beings have that aspect of you can enlarge or expand that love and the compassion towards others. So the compassion have a self-compassion, compassion not kind of too harsh to yourself, and the compassion not harsh to others, not to disturb unnecessary kind of disturbing others' mind, that kind of behavior. That is, the compassion, unlimited compassion, that is what we're saying, based on equal, and mind goes not to extreme of one self and others kind of type of position. If you see, you have understand or mind or the love and the compassion, you have to have some capable to understand others' feeling and the situation, position. You have to mind of others. You have to kind of wear their skin, or as we said, you want to, because we have a selfish motivated actions or altruistic mind behavior, altruism kind of based actions. So if it's self-importancy or self-important feeling dominant in the mind can ignore others' feeling more. So then our motivation can be raised as a easy anger, defend yourself, and kind of more invasive or violent nature of mind or own kind of behavior. Or if you dear to your family or your own body or something, you are too much attached that you become very limited and you have your boundaries very small, very tight, insecurity, unpleasant feeling, easy to raise because you have too much self-importance or the once, I don't say you, but you know, this behavior. It could be your own kind of trouble and even disaster. Some many conflict fighting, these came from that kind of feeling. If you can see sometimes people have a car crashed, then if you have a very strong touch to your car and your own body, and you may become easily, immediately angry, become very angry. Sometimes you can see people after collision, people fighting each other. For if you have a less that kind of tendency, that nature, then you will think about others. Maybe first collision, you were thinking about the same other person also lived in the other car. So like yourself. So you're going to ask the health of others on what is situation, access. At least you become a calm person to call the related or the officers or department to figure out the situation. So more mind don't goes to extreme of self and others is very important. So we call the middle approach. Middle approach, when you're speaking, when you're doing something, when you're thinking something, you're wary about yourself and often close to in the middle ground. That is more safer ground, and also fair ground. So also from something, if accidentally something happened, that much easier to kind of go end quickly and smoothly without the repercussion and many things. So that is the mind, the bodhicitta's mind, or the compassion aspect of, if you care about others, others also want to care about you. If you don't care about others, eventually others will figure out what is the situation. They also become, may easily become more selfish. So these are, that's why we hear the compassion itself is so important. We pay homage to compassion. Avalokiteshvara, or any, if you are Christian, if you are Hinduism, or any form of compassion that is you kind of feel comfortable and feel more closer, then it's okay. At least you have a model that increase your compassion. That is important. In Buddhism, of course, Avalokiteshvara is kind of enlightened, fully enlightened being. So we want his blessing, Avalokiteshvara, he or she, that doesn't matter. So we also receive blessing from Avalokiteshvara. We wish you our compassion also will be kind of a full and a perfect way to train our mind, or in our mind stream, we have this kind of attitude and thoughts. So next is homage to gurus. That is because we, this text written in the 11th century. So then, or we saw the oral and the transformation, transform this text, many people's mind transformed by this text. Transmission and the transform taking place each generation after generation. Transmission means that kind of a explanation. And the transform is actual practice you do, then transform your mind. If you don't practice, there's not much transform your mind. If you don't receive the teaching, then no transmission. Maybe you can read some books or internet, but maybe you not pay much attention to. So in order to have receiving these teachings, there must be generations after generation of a different lineage holder, or also we call the transmission holders. And then any studies, generally we follow some teachings, teacher. If you wanted to drive with somebody, will show you how to drive. If you do an art craft, there must be some teachings. If you say, I'm going to learn on YouTube, but there is a person to put those things on YouTube and shut those videos, or there must be related to man or somebody's kind of effort. And then the transform is related to our own diligence depends on our own effort. No one can directly transform you immediately unless there's certain kind of karmic cause and the condition is there. Some people say, oh, I see this person is wonderful, some inspiring person. So I, same information I read in book, some book, and hearing from other certain type of person, I feel much, much closer or feeling of a much deeper understanding from one's kind of way to explanation. So that could be happen, sometimes happens. So in that way, that means I follow some teacher and give you some explanation. And also in India, guru means you could be in profession. You have this professional knowledge about certain field in spiritual field or worldly skills. Should that also, if you are very professional, that you can call it a guru. And also in a certain teachings, guru, you know, our on the nowadays understanding there is a negative or positive both in influences in the society. It's like ancient time, there was always different conflict, different aspect, different situation each person need. You cannot say one thing to give one image to everyone. There's not such a like that. But in Buddhism, we say guru have a inner and outer guru. Inner guru means your own wisdom. This is most important guru. And outer guru is like, as we said, you have somebody to explain in text or to show, they say, emphasize mind training or your ability to gain wisdom aspect of enlightened is a very liberational kind of approach. Someone is to show you mind is important. Cultivate mind is important for your happiness, for you devoid of suffering, very important. So there are many worldly kind of teachings from kindergarten to up to PhD or something that most learn not about mind itself much. Our psychology, certain part of mind is there, but the rest is much, not much education about the mind itself. So in Buddhist lineage or tradition, is more emphasized on the mind itself. So this covers or fulfills the blank, empty spot of some society. Education. Of course, in a Buddhist society may need more about education or about material development, like physics, chemistry, algebra, math, these scientific studies. So I think both very useful. Important, but in some people's mind thinking our scientific approach and the finding is only truth, that also limiting yourself because science has a powerful way to understand the reality, but not only approach, not only the way to understand the situation, especially in mental level. Psychological, this part is kind of developing, but due to mind is a subjective experience, they can only analyze more mainly brain. But the brain understanding, brain is still, I think, I heard some brain specialists, they said it's still in the beginning stage of understanding mind. And maybe we never figure out completely mind by brain, is study brain, because brain also certain chemistry activities of nerves and waves of electrical waves, small in level. The brain itself is kind of protein or that. So in a very, if you go deeper and deeper, there's much difficult to figure out subjective experiences only related to the mind, brain only. Also, brain has a very important relation with mind. That is also sure. Body itself also too. With a mind, you can see. But if you cell, or as we said, is the protein itself has the capable to aware, have the fraction of awareness from protein, it's difficult. If you say brain has a different functions in different parts, but of course, in brain damage, these cases shows once you kind of missing some part of brain damage, then other parts of brain can able to take the job or take the language or certain left side, the right side, these able to take over that damaged part, kind of already damaged part, the function is not working anymore, but the other part of brain can take over that job. So that shows brain, the different parts of brain is not only can do a certain thing, but related to many, they can, through training, through gradual kind of patient way, they have the capacity to do other things. And the one thing important is mind and body, or mind and brain relation, now is still mystery. And our own general kind of view is brain related to growth of mind. That is the our view, general view. It's like a daytime. We have examine our mind. And in the dream, we have a certain feeling of I, and we have a dream feeling, dream actions and images in the dream happening. Even in the dream, we have our own version of explanation what is dream. But through scientific understanding, dream is still mystery, actually. So even the different consciousness, waking and to sleep and dreaming and go back to waking, is still mystery. If you go ask for details, it's like that. So anyway, and so what we're saying is our mind stream, a flow, is continuing in a deeper level. So our understanding about time and the mind is very gross. That's what we're saying. And there is many teachings about the subtle level for mind. So now the... homage to Guru. So now what we are, our time nowadays, like now we are studying, not necessarily we're going to have our own Guru. You just educate yourself in Dharma, read the books, and these are all fine. And once you haven't met someone you want to become study in a more stable way, then you have to still, you have to kind of analyze this person. It's a really thorough, take time to kind of examine, or maybe not capable to examine much, but at least you feel relationships more stable. Just have some certain degree of trust, then it's important. And then with the study, and then you receive some benefit, actually. We know, end of what we're saying is, if you, like, you go to school, you trust that the education system and also some good teacher there, then you must be, when you graduate, you have some certain skill and ready to work. And it's like that in that approach, is said the first the examination, and the second is that they really have a hard study. If we are not much if we don't have a commitment to study, then what is the point to kind of receiving so much? We don't have an aim or do motivations to study much and practice much, then maybe improper. Then end said, what do you first examine teachings, and second analyze yourself and practice, put into to practice, and end, then the you have a you what we say get benefit is like doing business, you can profit or not like that. It's saying you able to better way to manage your own mind. That's benefit. You are become better person or good, better, you're able to tame your mind, or you work with your mind, cooperate with your mind. Your efficient way to kind of use your time and energy in beneficial way. That is benefit, as we say. So this is a homage to Guru, the lineage master. And of course, once one person set that and setting up their mind, then you should kind of dedicate and devotion stronger, not always wandering in doubts and from here to there. That those also not we consider not best way. But of course, individual is different. You have to respect yourself and your situation, then develop based on from that point, that ground. And then said homage to devotional deities. That deity not mean in there's two aspects of deities. One is you can say, oh, it's a holy beings or religious figure, enlightened beings, that kind of a concept is external. Even ancient enlightened beings, fully enlightened being, that is or like Avalokiteshvara, as we said, manifestation of compassion of all Buddha awakened mind. You can say that is also deities. And another way to understanding deity external form actually only reflect inner deity. That means, as we said in Buddhist teaching, compassion is very important. If you make this as a, you see them as a, see compassion as a, there is a form of compassion, then you can create like Avalokiteshvara or any like enlightened compassionate figure. Like some people see, of course, not deity, it was a human being. Dalai Lama also see the Dalai Lama as a compassion in his whole life, example of compassion. And then the wisdom aspect is like a Manjushri. There are also, of course, you can use different forms, but it means enlightened mind aspect of wisdom. So, or in another way, we can say our own nature has a aspect of compassion and wisdom. That is also an energy continuation of power, aspiration, merit, blessing. These words have a different, in what's it called, deity forms. So that if you, we say through outer deities, then you have to relate to your own mind. That is important. If you only see those deity as a form of God or ghost or these, then we are misunderstanding deities. These deities are not like a independent, solid form, everlasting form. These are cause and the condition, like a interdependent rising form. That nature is what's it called, a emptiness, or there is a only concept from our side to produce that concept. So this this is a homage. So our time today is here. I'm going to we'll continue on Friday. So we pray for the dedication now. As the courageous Manjushri understood, and just like Shyamala Bhadra as well, I now dedicate all this virtue following their example, one and all. Since dedication has been praised as a supreme by all the victorious ones throughout the three times, all the fundamental virtues I have, I fully dedicated this practice in the sublime. By this merit, may all beings attain omniscience and defeat the enemy wrongdoing from the storming waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death. From the ocean of existence, may all beings be free. By this merit, may all beings complete the collection of merit, wisdom, and wisdom, and attain the two sacred kayas that arises from merit and form, merit and wisdom. So, thank you very much. And we didn't explain the homage part, but this text is very important, very good. So we can study step by step. Atisha's history, these you can figure out, you can search online related to Atisha's story, and the teachings are so many available online. So I'll see you on Friday.